Good morning. Today's the day I should take the collection for the air conditioning. It is terrible. You know, you people out there, you have it easy. At least you have a breeze. We have nothing up here but offer it up for the poor souls. Anyway, since we've preached on the Eucharist the last 2 weeks, we're going to focus this week on St. Paul. And he gives us a pattern about what life is supposed to be like for a Christian. But see, I believe most Catholics anyway, of course none of you people here, but all those other ones sit there, live their life in such a way that they're Catholic on Sunday and they try to be good people the other day, but that's really about it. It doesn't have that great of an influence in their lives, huh? And so Paul's saying something altogether different here, and so he's looking up for a pattern, and you and I are supposed to take our lives and place it on here. This is the pattern of your life. Is this, so as we go through this, let's examine this together. Is this the way I'm living? And if not, what do I got to change in my life to make it this way? Here's Paul talking to his brothers and sisters, which is us, and he says, watch carefully how you live. And he says, not as foolish persons, but as wise. And this is what I want to focus on. Making the most out of every opportunity, because these are evil days. They were evil days then, and they're evil days now. But what he's saying is make the most of every opportunity. Now, if you go up to Walden Books, or I guess there ain't many Walden Books, but Barnes & Nobles or Borden's or Borders, you go to all these places and they have all these books on finances and that, and how to make a million or how to do well. And people buy these books unbelievably because they want to make the most off of every opportunity to try to get, people they can, with other people, build relationships with, but they call it something else in the business world. Networking. Yeah, you got networking. So you get this networking, and all why? So you can build up yourself and build up your kingdom and make the most out of every opportunity. People will do that for $1 million easily. Oh yeah, I'll make better. Yeah. Well, anyway, he's talking about it's an evil age. So we got to make the most out of every opportunity for who? For God. So do we do that? Do we make the most of every opportunity for ourselves and for our money or for our families? We do it to the build up of the kingdom of God. You know, one of the ways we look at that is, am I bringing people to Christ? Or am I just sitting there doing what's good for me and I have me on my own little group? It's me and my, the people believe the way I believe and we're very happy and it's us against the rest of the world. The rest of the world can go to hell for all I care because it's just me and myself. Really? Is that making the most of every opportunity? Or is it sitting there, are you and I in this world to make the most of everything and to bring everybody we know to Jesus Christ? Is that what you're doing? It's kind of like where the Titanic has sunk, huh? And we're in the lifeboat. And while we're in the lifeboat, you know, some of the people even pretended to be women to get on those lifeboats. As long as I save myself, I'm saved. I'm in the boat. Don't anybody bother me. You can go to hell. You can go to hell. I don't care. It's just me. Me, 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 me. That's very nice, but it's very selfish. If we're in a lifeboat because Christ has saved us, we got to make the most of every opportunity. What's that mean? We try to bring as many people in the lifeboat as possible. Willingly giving up our own space in the lifeboat, if that's what it takes, to save somebody else. Are you and I making the opportunity of every moment of our lives by bringing people we know to Christ? Are we trying to get them in the lifeboat? Or am I just trying to live life for myself and okay, I'm saved and I got my right religion and my relationship with God and everybody else, well, sorry, that's what, you know, you believe what you want to believe, let me believe what I want to believe. Am I making the most of every opportunity because this is an evil age? So that's the first thing. The second thing Paul tells us is we shouldn't live in ignorance. And what's ignorance? It means lack of knowledge of something. Doesn't mean you're stupid. You can be very, very intelligent, but very, very ignorant in some things. A lot of people are very ignorant on the teachings of the church. They're smart. They might have the doctorate degrees. They might have 2 doctorate degrees, a couple master's degrees, but be very ignorant on what it teaches of God. And so Paul says, don't be ignorant. And he's saying, what do you shouldn't be ignorant about? Don't be ignorant, but try to understand the will of God. So what that means is you and I got to be living God's will in our life, right? That we're doing everything possible to live the will of God in our life. So the question is, are you living God's will? Most people, when I ask them this, they're sitting there saying, I don't know. I don't know if I'm living God's will or not. Well, you should know. If I was to say you're going to be dead in an hour, would that be okay because you're living the will of God, huh? Remember what St. Francis of Assisi was out hoeing his garden one day and someone came up to him and said, Francis, What if you knew that you would be dead in an hour? What would you do? And what was his answer? I'd continue to hoe my garden. Because he was doing God's will. Are you and I living God's will? Do you know that you're living God's will? And the only way to find that out is you're a man or a woman of prayer, and you sit over in a chapel, or you sit at home, or wherever you pray, and you say, God, I only have one desire, to do your will. And then you sit there long enough until he tells you his will. Some of you might sit there a long time, but is that most important to you? To know God's will for your life, which means you have a listening heart and pray. Just don't talk. You listen when you go to prayer. God, what do you want me to do? I'm not leaving here till you tell me. And then you're living God's will. You're not living in ignorance. Second thing. Then the third thing he says here is don't get drunk on wine. Okay, don't do that. Better live lives of debauchery. Please don't do that. But be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now again, I have preached in this church for the last 8 years, and I've talked about many, many times how we need to have a life surrender, daily surrender to the Holy Spirit. I have given you, in the bulletin and outside the bulletin, I've given them in the back, the prayers of Cardinal Mercier of daily surrender and submission to the Holy Spirit, which is the secret of holiness. So I'm taking for granted that you listen to me. Yeah, right. I'd be quite interested, and I'm not going to do it to you now. But if I was to ask from a show of hands how many people actually pray the prayer to the Holy Spirit every day, I wonder if we'd even have a quarter of you. Even though your pastor has been telling you to do this for like 8 years. Do you pay any attention? Or you just sit there and say, okay, Father, hurry up. It's hot in here. Can I get through this, please, now? Do you have a daily surrender of your life to God's Holy Spirit? And one of the ways you can prove that is there's this line here I love. Giving thanks always and for everything. The way you can tell you and I are really surrendered to God's Spirit is we give thanks always and for everything. That means that we're not people of negativity. I can be a person of negativity when I'm not surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Can you? Is there ever times when we look at what's wrong with the church, what's wrong with the people around us, what's wrong with our pastor, what's wrong with the murals in the church, what's wrong with the blue sky, what's wrong with this? How come this isn't done yet? How come that isn't done yet? What's wrong with your husband? What's wrong with your wife? What's wrong with your kids? What's wrong with your parents? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? What's wrong? That's not what it says here. Does it say, be filled with the Holy Spirit and find out what's wrong with everything around you? I don't see that's what it says. It says, be filled with Holy Spirit, giving thanks always and for everything. That's what it says. So, do we take this pattern that God gives us today, and do we go, that's nice, and continue to live our lives our own way? Or do we let the Spirit of the living God convict our hearts and say, listen, you're not living the way I created you to live. This is the way I want you to live. That you and I make the most of every opportunity for God, that we know and live God's will, and we give thanks always and for everything by our surrendering of our lives daily to the Holy Spirit. If you do this, you're going to have peace, and you're going to have a life of holiness. And that's what he's calling us to, huh? You got it? Get it? Gonna live it? You better. Me too. May you know his love today and forever. Amen. Let us stand and let us profess our faith.